Molly.
Hey, Dave.
How are you?
I am doing great. As great as can be. I always feel like I have to put the, you know, put a disclaimer on that.
Well, first of all, welcome to the What Difference Does It Make podcast. Once again, yes. We are here. And we've got a wonderful guest. Please tell us, Holly, who do we have?
We do. We have Josie Cotton with us today. Most of you will know her from her hits, Johnny, Are You Queer? And He Could Be the One. But she has also re-released her breakthrough album, Convertible Music. So you can get that now online, or you can stream it. And then I think later you are releasing the CD and vinyl, right?
Yeah. In the fall, the printing of LPs is just crazy. A couple have closed, and now it's everyone's being super creative and putting out records. So it really pushes everything back. So there you go.
But that's exciting, though. I mean, vinyl is back. Is it going to be pink, or what color are you going to make this vinyl? Mm-hmm.
Well, I think they're doing some kind of swirling plastic, rainbowish pattern of that's usually what Bump does, because that's who's doing the vinyl, and they're kind of specialized in that. Yeah, and there's a bonus track, so just switching it up for people a little bit. So
that's very exciting. I follow your Instagram account, and I love it. First of all, it's amazing. But your last post pretty much sets up the way this whole whole interview is going to go.
Okay.
Because it just says, okay, so it says, after years of waiting, I finally have the rights to my own record, my baby, Convertible Music. After having to record it three separate times, yes, three, relentless controversy, international boycotts, and record label mismanagement, it's finally back in my hands. Today is a digital release. It's available on all streaming platforms. Okay, so let's break this down now.
How did that come about?
First of all, you have the rights to your own record. What was that fight about? What's going on
there?
Well,
it wasn't even a fight. It was more like accidentally finding out something through a friend that a lot of people don't know about, and they don't really let you know. It's a window of just a short amount of time. And it has to do with something being a certain amount of time since you were released on, and the number, the magic number is 30 years. And that is, but if you're not told, it slips by. And I was asked, told, I got a lawyer, and you just have to request it in writing and they give it to you. But, had I not known, I would be so, I'd be so upset, because it's just an amazing thing to have the masters back, even though they destroyed my masters for some unknown reason. I guess they were doing a bonfire and they needed some fuel, and they go, "Oh, there's those tapes. Get those. Bring them out."
No.
And so, I don't know if they lost them or if they really did destroy them, but, I was given the rights in my case. I didn't actually get the 2-inch masters back. So, but some people might. And it's all the 80s artists. Everyone in the 80s is eligible, pretty much. That's a beautiful thing.
So that's just, so you said there's a short window.
Yes.
They can say if you miss the window, then you miss the opportunity to get them back?
Yes, and they don't let you know. It's really mysterious. It's some kind of a secret coven of you have to know about in order to escape the witch trials or something. But I don't know. You just you lose the opportunity, and it was a total accident that I found out. So some good soul thought of that for us recording artists from that era. And it's just a very empowering thing to have the control again. Or if I ever did, I have control. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I feel like we should be getting the word out there.
Yeah. But okay, so now, I mean, I'm partially good in math. However, I'm 30 years ago is 1990. And this came out in the early 80s, right? So what's the story? What is the journey?
That's a good point. That's a good math point. But that's what I was told, that or maybe it was from the 30 years from your last, because my second record with them was in 84. So it might have been from that time frame. I get the first two records back that I did with them.
That's phenomenal. Yes. So you'll do the same thing with your second release as well.
The second release, it's automatic. You ask for both. And then after that, I learned the lesson of always keeping my masters. And so No one ever got them after that. So I don't have to ask for them or wait. So love it.
That's such a bummer to have to learn that way. You know, I mean, you kind of, we learn as we go. We learn about podcasting as we go, but to learn as an artist, you know, when you're putting something out there that somebody, you know, you don't really know how long they're going to own it for at the time.
Well, this is a new law. This is like brand new. And I wish I knew who was the author of it because I like to shake their hand or something. Shake something.
Wonderful. Well, good. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes, exactly. Your child has come back home. That's great.
My child, my very special child has come back home.
Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, okay.
We're appreciating it.
Thank you.
All right. So the second part in this Instagram post says, after having to record it three separate times, what is that? What does that mean?
It's so funny. I've talked about this in interviews, and then I was so nervous about putting it on social media because it's a little more personal. I mean, I kind of think of people as more of my extended family a little bit, and that might be odd. I might need to talk to my therapist about that. But I posted that. I've never, you know, revealed that information on in that world, but. Basically, we were recording in L.A., a very famous recording studio called Gold Star, when they had these very famous, you know about that, the echo chambers underneath the streets of Hollywood were just infamous. And we were going in there after having made several demos and recording, you know, a lot of it. It was a tremendous amount of fighting going on about what if something was sharp or flat. It was like a stand. We found out basically that the machines had been speeding up and slowing down the entire time, the Studer 2-inch machines, and it never happened in their whole history of their company. So they flew this guy out from Germany, and he went, yes, we've never seen that. And so we had an album after many, you know, everyone was right. It was sharp and flat, but we had something we couldn't keep, and we had to do it again. And that time we blew out the drummer's eardrums and, cause we did it to a really loud track. And then we had to find another drummer because we'd ruined our own and recorded again. And it was 6 months of that. And then at the end, I didn't even know if I liked those songs anymore. I was like, I don't know. Is this good? What are we doing? Mm. And then Johnny was exploding all over the world and Elektra kept saying, are you finished yet or what's happening? And they thought we were all losing our minds. And I guess we kind of did because it was so imperceptible you could barely hear. It was almost like a feel thing. It was like, that's odd. That's giving me, that sounds sharp. No, it's flat. No, it's sharp. It was just really a crazy recording experience.
All right. We're having some fun with Josie Cotton. Let's take a break and we'll be right back.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment of Protein Plus meal plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
So guess what? Today's show is brought to you by Audible. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/WDDIMpodcast and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs. Download a free title and start listening. It is just that easy. Again, just go to audibletrial.com/WDDIMpodcast and you're totally set. And we're back on the What Difference Does It Make podcast with our very special guest, Josie Cotton.
You touched on Johnny, Are You Queer? This was a song that had been going around for years. I think, how did this come into your hands? Because initially it was going to some other artist. Can you tell
us? Yeah. I'm so polite. But it was a song that my producers wrote with the Go-Go's in mind, because they were producing them and working with them. And that was a song they did live for, a couple years while they were working together. And then they parted ways. So I was the singer to be on the demo that was going to go around to get just a publishing demo. And, it turns out just people loved what we recorded, and that turned into the record, actually, the demo that we made. You know, that's where it took off or escaped as whatever.
that I read somewhere that you didn't you weren't intending to become a singer?
Well, no, I wanted to be more a songwriter, and that was, I liked singing. I loved singing. I just didn't want to be necessarily the person out there doing it.
Too late.
Yeah, too late. Yeah, I can't withdraw now, I guess.
How many of those songs on Convertible Music did you write?
I wrote most of them. Yeah. I wrote like, I think 7 of them of the, and then the Payne Brothers wrote a few and, a couple other ones.
Yeah, they're great. I mean, it definitely comes from a female perspective. You could tell that, I mean, on these stories, the woman is in control of the relationship, or it's like, all right, you're going to leave, or I want you. I mean, it seems like that was your persona. This is something I want. What was that?
That's interesting. I've never heard someone say that before, but I really do like that a lot. Yeah, it wasn't a very needy album, like, please love me. It wasn't like that at all.
Right. It was a girl group, or, it was based out of the 60s, but it definitely had a different perspective, something that was fresh and definitely for the early 80s. It was
made for the 80s.
Yeah. Nice,
no one's ever caught that before. No one has ever said that, and it's so true.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Hey, very observant of you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Always thinking of the girls. Girl perspective.
I have two daughters.
He's very attuned.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah, so.
Oh.
So, okay, back to Johnny, Are You Queer?
Yeah.
And I talked to this guy, record promoter, Rich Schmidt. Do you know him?
Of course I know Rich. Okay. Yeah.
All right. So I just talked to him. As he's trying to get it onto KROQ, the big alternative station in the 80s, he told me, I believe the station had a little pushback that we exploited. A fake organization was created and we sent a complaint about the song to the local media. A local news outlet took the bait and sent a film crew to the station to film a group of protesters, in quotes, and then went inside the station and took video of the turntable spinning the 12-inch. It was played on the local news and might have been picked up by some national outlets too. Is that all true?
Well, that is true. But in addition to that, it actually was being played on these televangelist shows that was not instigated by K-Rock. They were showing it on the TBN channel holding it up and saying that was actually a man trying to promote homosexuality. That was their take on it. And they recorded it at half speed I watched it because I was watching all that kind of crazy religious stuff at the time, which was really entertaining. And they were playing it at half speed, and I sounded just like Brian Wilson. It was a beautiful thing. <That's laughs>
We should try that.
Right?
But I was so relieved to hear that I didn't exist. It was such a phew. God, I thought maybe I did, but.
So you ran with this controversy. Is that?
Well, I mean, they ran with it, but there were plenty of takers. There were real right wing reactions to it. And it was actually something that, I think that they had heard that there was, some problems. It did get banned by the Catholic Church, so I don't think K-Rock's, planned that one out. And then banned in Amsterdam. So, it took off on its own. So, yeah.
Well, thank you to Amsterdam, because I'm sure that created some buzz as well.
Well, yeah. That's going on my gravestone.
Banned in Amsterdam.
Moniker. Banned in Amsterdam.
Which is pretty funny when you think about it, if that really was their perception of the song.
Yeah. It's so, it's so innocent. I always believed that. And so that was, it was a kind of a crazy time, that song. I mean, it was more like an atom bomb than, people say, well, how does it feel to have such a big hit and how do you follow up? Well, it really wasn't a hit song because I never made any money and it was never on AM radio. You know what I mean? I got banned from radio. It was just, so it can't be a hit technically. But it was an atom bomb. I will say that it really blew up all.
A lot of press and a lot of,
reaction. Yeah.
When you were in Gold Star, I guess you were recording it. Someone introduced you to a band. This was something I saw also on Instagram that someone stopped in and kind of introduced you to a new band. Is that, can you tell that story?
Oh yeah. Well, we'd recorded Johnny before Gold Star. We'd recorded it, separately in a little home studio. Oh. So and in that home studio, yeah, I heard the demo tape, when we were recording Johnny of Missing Persons. It was just such an amazing sound. I just really thought we were in such big trouble because it sounded so great. I was like, how do we, it's so good. And, so that was an amazing time just to hear the new bands, and you didn't know what was going to stick or anything, but that one definitely did.
Yeah, you're both around. I think you've done tours with Dale now, right?
I've done a few shows with her. I sure have, yeah. We're supposed to do one in September in San Francisco with the gal Annabelle from Bow Wow and Missing Persons and myself in some really beautiful club, and I think they have to cancel it again. We canceled it once.
Yeah.
You know, and now September is a little close. That's a little, I don't think we're quite there yet. Do you?
No.
Sadly, no.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have to wait till 2021. Before
I do too.
If everybody behaves themselves.
Yeah. If everybody will, I can't believe California has, yeah. I thought everyone, you know, was more evolved or more aware, but no.
Yeah, they kind of go against themselves, what you think about them. It's surprising, isn't it?
Well, I just heard that there's a huge party in Mulholland.
Right.
That now you heard about that, yeah. And they've turned off all the power on the house. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's what the governor's threatening to turn off the power on everyone now. I love it.
All right.
Good.
It's acting like they have to act like parents now. Like I'm.
They have. You're right. They have. They're begging for the boundaries.
Right, exactly, like a baby.
Like a baby.
So true. Well, you did record a nice little track called Flatten the Curve. How'd that come about? This is Jubilee Consortium and Sweet Relief. And,
my manager is Bruce Duff, and he's also involved in our label and whatnot. And his partner wrote the song, Frank Meyer, and at first I thought it was such a hokey idea, I just said, yeah, I don't know. And then I heard the song and it was so catchy. It was actually like so catchy, and I was excited. There are all these musicians that there's, you know, I've never met, and they were all doing it. And so, that was fun, to be involved in that. I don't know how they mixed it, 30 singers.
Right.
So crazy. He did it and we all did it remotely. And then we did a video remotely. I guess that's the way of the future. I guess we're all going to be in like little, you know, capsules under the earth or something now and never go out and see the sky. And is that our future?
I hope it's just a snapshot in time when we look back and, you know, in a few years that we look back and say, oh, that was it. It forced us to be more creative. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yes. And to look at things more carefully in society. I mean, I think I actually think some great stuff is coming out of this. And I think it's maybe our last chance to get our stuff together here on the earth. I mean, it was so clear. I just every day looking out downtown, and it was like, I can't believe I'm seeing no smog in Los Angeles. It was, it was just lovely.
No traffic.
Yeah. Did you enjoy the recording process now, you know, trying to do it in your home?
No, I didn't. I'm not a technical person, and so it was hard. Because I'm doing it all by myself. So, I'm not an engineer. I will just say that emphatically.
Yeah, you will definitely come out with new skills.
I think so. Yeah.
Last year you released that the album, your original album that was going to be released in 1986. Everything is Oh Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was supposed to be my third album.
Okay. And so I saw that you released this last year. Was this in conjunction? You have music in Stranger Things.
That's how I found that record. They were asking me for songs, and then we went on a search, and we ended up finding all these 2-inch tapes in various people's attics and garages. And I thought it was lost. I really did. I didn't think there was a chance, but we put it together, and we had to bake the tapes. You know, that's a process for 2 days.
Yeah. Literally baking.
The low heat baking, which is so strange, and there was no degradation of sound. It was quite amazing to hear it. And it had been in rafters with the rain leaking. It had been through earthquakes and floods and fires. And when I was living out in a different area, and it just amazingly survived the whole thing.
Durable. So did they originally come to you for new music, or did they ask you for something specific?
What they asked, my publishing company, they asked, we're looking for 80s records that were never released. And they said that to me. I said, I think I have one of those, but that's what an odd request. It was an entire record. I just left. You know, it was kind of like a crime scene, the crime scene tape. And then I just left the building. And I said, I think I have a finished record that was never released. And that's how we ended up doing that.
That's fortuitous.
Yeah, I know. It was quite miraculous because it had been raining on them in our rafters, leaking roof and stuff. So I don't even know how that happened, but I'm glad. It felt great to finally finish something like that. It was always oh gosh, that was really good. I wish, blah, blah, blah. So now it's just oh gosh, to be able to just completely exhale for a second, for a mini second, and go back into our world, which is not very relaxing now.
I guess you knew at the time what a big hit Stranger Things was.
I was a huge fan. I'm a science fiction geek. I know all these shows, and there's some great ones. It was super flattering. And my idea about Stranger Things, it was a little more techno part of the 80s. It was a little moodier, more synthesizery version of the 80s. So I never thought I quite fit in with their aesthetic.
They obviously thought so.
I guess. I don't know.
Okay, so we're having a lot of fun with Josie Cotton, but let's stop it right here. Sorry, Holly. Sorry, it's got
already. So we'll pick it up next week, yeah?
Yes, we will. We will. You can't have too much fun all at once, right? You got to kind of stretch out the enjoyment.
Spread out the fun.
Yeah, so it is a party here with Josie, and we're having a great time. Please remember to follow us on all your favorite social networks. We have a newsletter at wddimpodcast.com. So we look forward to seeing you. Please give us great reviews. And until next week, this is Dave.
This is Holly.
Check you later.
Over and out.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.